In your Bible, Psalm 10 tonight, Psalm 10, symptoms of wickedness, symptoms of wickedness. And when we read this chapter of Scripture, I think you'll be able to see it pretty quickly why we call it that, Psalm 10, symptoms of wickedness. And you know, when you're being diagnosed with certain things, I've been to the doctor lately more than I normally am, and I've been diagnosed with a couple of things, and so what happens is they start looking for symptoms, and when they find enough symptoms to confirm what they believe to be true, they make a diagnosis. And I want you to understand something, that wickedness is something that creeps into the hearts and lives of God's people. Sinfulness, sinful behavior, wickedness, the definition of wickedness is hostile to God. Now, I want you to know it's possible for somebody to be saved and become in their hearts hostile towards God. You get away from the Lord and you get hostile to God's conviction. You get hostile to God's direction. You get to the place where you don't want God's will. And I want you to know wickedness is something we've got to be on the watch for, because wickedness is something that will ruin your life. Wickedness is also something that is rampant and prevalent in our world and lost people. Hostility to God is a definition for wickedness. Also, guilty of sin, wickedness. And I want you to know, if you identify the beginnings and early onset wickedness in your life, you need to repent and turn to the Lord and get your heart right and understand that God does not accept wickedness. He doesn't accept sinfulness and wrong, and we need to know that, symptoms of wickedness. Let's look together at Psalm 10. I'll read to you this chapter of the Bible, and then we'll take our message. The Bible says, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble?" Let me tell you what the idea that David has here, the psalmist who ever wrote, I believe it's a psalm of David. But as David writes this psalm, David is burdened because on numerous occasions in David's life, it appears that wicked people and wickedness is winning the fight. And I don't know about you, but you don't have to look very far to think and even be convinced that sinfulness and wickedness seems to have the majority, and righteousness seems to have the minority, and yet we believe that God is all-powerful. How do we reconcile that? I want you to understand something. God does not operate on a 70, 80, 90, or 100-year timetable. He does not operate in light of the length of our life and the pleasures of life. He's given us pleasures, and he's gracious and grateful. But I want you to understand something. God operates beyond and outside of the days of our lives, and God is eternal, and he created us in his image, and we are eternal too. And if you take eternity out of the equation, you're going to live your life thinking God is not fair. God is not alert. God does not care. We've got to remember that God is eternal. And the work that he does is for life and for eternity. One of my favorite portions of the 23rd Psalm, it's the very end of it. I'll actually look at it there and read this verse to you. The 23rd Psalm, the Bible says this: "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Isn't that wonderful? The days of my life, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, our good shepherd God is concerned about the days of your life. It's true. But that's not all. You remember the last part of that verse? "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Forever. Let me tell you something. Compared to forever, the grievous nature and the apparent victory that wickedness may be having around you, look, it's not a winning proposition to choose wickedness over God because you think somehow God has turned his head. David's writing here. He says, "Now, Lord, why do you stand afar off? Why are you hiding yourself in time? Why is it that we're having to deal with this?" Now, I don't understand that. David, King David, is asking this question. And it's okay to ask God questions that you don't understand. He says, Lord, why are you standing afar off? And then he starts to describe wicked, the wicked and wickedness and wicked people. The Bible says in verse 2, he says, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages, in the secret places. Doth he murder the innocent? His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. Now we come to this passage of Scripture, and David is reconciling his heart the fact that God is going to have to deal, and God will deal with the wicked. But then he begins to describe the wicked, and I think it's very important that we note some of these characteristics and symptoms of wickedness, because I'll just tell you, I believe with all my heart that wickedness creeps into the hearts of even God's people, and wickedness is creeping into churches, and wickedness is creeping into pulpits. And we need to ask God to search our hearts, to clean us up, and identify wickedness. If your heart is wicked, if you are hostile toward God, guilty of sin, you're not keeping sin confessed. I want you to know something. You're wicked. And coming, and along with wicked, comes all kinds of other terrible diseases and sicknesses and spiritual conditions. And God's people should desire to be clean. God's people should desire to be right with God. God's people should yearn to keep their relationship with Jesus close and right and righteous. Let's talk about the symptoms of wickedness. Number one, wickedness persecutes the poor. There's a great emphasis in this passage of Scripture on the wicked persecuting the poor. Look what the Scripture says in verse number 2. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. The Bible says that wicked people come to a place where they are not compassionate toward the poor. As a matter of fact, they come to the place where they are willing to even take advantage of the poor. The wicked persecute the poor. There's a great detail about this nature and this symptom of wickedness as the text moves on. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says of the wicked, he sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. Now, this is something that happens, and this is a sign of wickedness. Wicked folks are willing to hurt other people. Wicked folks have no problem with hurting folks. Wicked folks and the progression of wickedness, it gets to a place where you don't care if it hurts anybody. Now, we're not just talking about poor financially. We're talking about anybody that you could take advantage of. You might take advantage of someone emotionally. You may take advantage of somebody by leaving stress on them. You may take advantage of somebody by leaving them without the assurance of your love, leaving them without the assurance of your forgiveness. You are wicked when you withhold good from folks that you have to offer. And wickedness persecutes the poor. Wickedness takes advantage of folks when you don't have to. Wickedness persecutes the poor. The benevolent spirit goes away when hostility towards God and a guiltiness of sin becomes prominent in our lives. You see, to be caring and compassionate and loving towards other people is a byproduct, and it is an evidence of the indwelling Holy Spirit and a relationship with God. And I just want you to know, a symptom of wickedness is your willingness to persecute the poor. Was there ever a time in your life where you had a burden to help folks? You cared about other people even seemingly more than yourself? But those days have long since passed, and bitterness and selfishness is become prominent in your life. I want you to know something. It's a sign of wickedness. A hostility towards God. A guilt of sin. May God help us. Symptom number one, persecutes the poor. The symptoms of wickedness. Number two, wicked people boast of their heart's desires. Look what the Bible says in verse 3. The Bible says, the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. Boast of their heart's desire. Now, that's an interesting phrase there. But a wicked person boasts of their heart's desire. One, when you think about this, boast of his heart's desire. Have you ever noticed that there are so many people in our society today that are completely and totally unashamed of their vile, wicked heart's desire? There's folks who are proud even. They even use words like pride to describe entire movements of people who are sexual deviants, who are perverts, perverse, perverting God's original design. And the Bible says this, that a wicked person boasts of their heart's desire. Now we take it to a far extreme in something that we're dealing with in our society at this moment, with sexual perversion. They boast of their heart's desire. It's a sign of wickedness. But you know, also, you can get to the place in your own life and your Christian life, you say, I would never go to that extreme. But you get to a place in your own life where you boast of your own heart's desire. You know that, oh, hello. You know that I may have broke it for good. You know that what your flesh longs for is wrong. But you've just finally come to a place where, you know, I wouldn't have talked about that around other Christian friends. But, you know, good night, who cares? Blah, here I am. This is who I am. The Bible says wicked people and wickedness boast of their heart's desire. They give no concern or regard to the will of God or whether or not God reveres what they're doing as righteous and good and holy. They boast of their heart's desires. Wickedness boasts of its heart's desires. If you think in your heart, I do this and I know God doesn't like it, but that's just how I am. Look, I pray that we never get satisfied with having habitual, perpetual sin and sinful behavior in our hearts and lives. Don't get used to the dark. You know what we should be working on all the time? We should be working on our relationship with Jesus. We should be working all the time on keeping our hearts void of offense between God and man. We should be working all the time to be right with God. Like the little kid's song says, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ himself wants to continue to work on you and make you more like him. And you should yearn in your heart to grow in your faith and to say no to wickedness. You see, a symptom of wickedness that the wicked boast of their own heart's desires. Look, don't excuse your sin. Don't make exceptions for yourself. We saw this quote the other night, and it was so good. The quote says this: if you make your child an exception, they will never be exceptional. Isn't that good? Let me tell you something. It goes far beyond children. If you make yourself an exception to God's law and God's rule and God's righteousness, if you excuse and make exceptions for why you don't live for the glory of God, you'll never be exceptional for the work of God, for the cause of Christ, for who God has made you to be. Symptom of wickedness is they boast of their heart's desires. Verse number 3 continues. It says this: the wicked boasts of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. Look at this. The wicked bless the covetous. The wicked bless the covetous. Now, we understand the word covetous. Covetous is selfish, desiring things that don't belong to you. Covetous is a worldly mind. It's wickedness. But the Bible says that a wicked man blesses the covetous. Let me tell you something. We have made, in our society, idols out of the most wicked, ungodly things you've ever seen. It's amazing. It's amazing how many sports icons are wicked and covetous, and we bless the covetous. It's amazing how many teen idols, and we should take note of the way they're titled, like Teen Idol, American Idol. We should take note of the way they say it. Idol. They're not even trying to hide it. Let me tell you something. If you bless the covetous, if you say, wow, to wickedness, you yourself are wicked. The Bible says the wicked bless the covetous. The wicked bless the covetous. The Bible continues in the last part of that verse, whom the Lord abhorreth. If you give a thumbs up to what God gives a thumbs down, you've made a very foolhardy decision. And I'm going to tell you something. You have number 3 symptom of wickedness in your heart and life. Number four, the Bible says in verse number 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Sign of wickedness, you will not seek after God. You refuse to seek God's will. You know what happens when our hearts begin to get cold toward God and God's will and God's word and God's ways? Our desire to seek, to know, and to obey and do God's will fades away. Now, it's not something that once one moment it's there and the next moment it's gone. It's something like the dimming of lights over a long period of time. Before you know it, you're in the darkness. But I want you to understand, if you've come to a place where you've got to where you've got something you want and you don't care what God wants, you want what you want and you're going to get it, you have symptom number 4 of wickedness. Wicked people will not seek after God. If you find yourself having a hard time praying, Lord, show me your will. Lord, am I wrong? Lord, am I right? Lord, is this the right decision? Lord, should I keep doing this? Lord, should I go there? If you have a hard time engaging the Lord in the plans of your life, I want you to know something. Your heart has become hostile toward God and you're guilty of sin. And you're wicked. Wickedness. Symptom 4, will not seek after God. Symptom 5, the Bible says in verse 5, this. The Bible says in verse 5, his ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. Symptom number 5 is this. The wicked person, his ways are always grievous. You know a sign of wickedness? consistent grief in the circumstances of life. His ways are always grievous. Have you ever noticed that there are certain people that it doesn't matter if they're having a birthday party, it's going to be a fight. If they go to the beach, it's going to be a fight. If they have banana pudding in the refrigerator, they're mad about something because the bananas are whatever. I mean, I don't know how you could be unhappy and have banana pudding in your. But I'm going to tell you that if you're wicked, you can have a refrigerator full of banana pudding, and I do right now, and I'm happy about it. And still be mad about something. Now, the Bible says that his ways are always grievous. Now, I'm going to tell you something really plain. If you have no peace, if there's not a moment that you can just go, oh, hallelujah, it's okay. It is a symptom of wickedness. It's a symptom of wickedness. Nobody likes to say it. But it's a symptom that you personally are at fault. It's a symptom that sin has creeped in. It's a symptom that you have become hostile towards God. You see, God hasn't designed our lives to be constantly tumultuous. And the Lord wants us to lean on Him and trust Him and repent of our sins and get humble before Him and acknowledge our own faults and get to the place where we're okay with things that aren't always perfect and aren't right. And we just repent and turn to the Lord and say, here I am, Lord, help me. I can't do it. The Bible says that the wicked person, his ways are always grievous. His ways are always grievous. Look what it says in verse 5 to give clarity to this point. His ways are always grievous. It says, thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. Now, here's what happens. When you let wickedness creep in, when you let wickedness become rampant in your life, your ways are going to always be grievous. And one of the reasons why your ways are going to always be grievous is because God's ways are going to be above you and out of your sight. Let me just tell you something. Wickedness produces spiritual blindness. Wickedness produces spiritual blindness. When you let sin roll in, you can't see God's simple solution to life's big problems. Sin blinds us. Sin separates us from the direction of God and the peace of God. Sin keeps us from being able to rest. The Bible says that wickedness, sinfulness, produces this grievous spirit because God's ways are completely above us and out of his sight. Here's what it says in the conclusion of verse 5. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. That word puffeth is speaks. Puffeth at them. Most of the time, the word puffeth is used to speak, is used in this phrase, speaketh lies. He's got a spirit of, and this idea of somebody that's always just running their mouth. Let me show you. Let me read to you what I wrote in my notes here. He puffs at his enemies. He speaks to them. The next phrase was very theologically sound. Here in my notes it says, runs his big fat mouth. You know what we do in response to, so we're still dealing with this, his ways are always grievous. God's ways and the wisdom of God is above and out of his sight. And another symptom of wickedness that along goes along with these always grievous is that runs his big fat mouth, puffs at his enemies, always fussing about some type of grief, grievance, injustice. His ways are always grievous. Let me tell you something. When our hearts are right with God, God will give us peace in the midst of the most horrific storms. But when sin rules in our hearts and lives, whatever it is, wickedness, when wickedness rules in our lives, guess what? All our ways are grievous. God help us. It's a symptom of wickedness. The Bible continues, verse number 6 and point number 6. Symptom of wickedness. His heart is deceived. Look at the Bible says in verse number 6. The Bible says, he hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Now here's what happens. Do you know what happens to wicked people and folks who have been overcome by wickedness? We have deceived hearts. His heart has said, he said in his heart, I shall not be moved. This idea, I'm here and I'll never be changed. I'm good. I'm living sinful. I'm living and doing what I want to do, the way I want to do it. And now you don't have to look very far to find people who are very bold and braggarts about how wicked they are. And they're so proud and they're so convinced that anybody that's not doing things just the way they are is ignorant and foolish and old-fashioned, whatever. But I want you to know something. If you're wicked and you think somehow that you want to ride on the top for the rest of life, you might accidentally ride on the top for the rest of your life. It won't produce the kind of joy that the Holy Spirit will. And you might ride on the top for the rest of your days. But let me tell you something. There's a long eternity that'll be ahead of you that'll be rich with regret. You see, God works beyond the days of our lives. And wickedness says, I'm up here on my high horse. I'm up here in my pedestal. I'm up here in my palace. I'm up here in my success, and I'll not be moved. You'll see. I don't wish it on nobody. But God makes it plain that that's how it is. His heart is deceived. Verse number 7, a symptom of wickedness. The Bible says, verse number 7, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Symptom number 7, his mouth is full of cursing, deceit, and fraud. I guess we could call this point, he runs his big fat mouth part 2. But here's what the Bible says. It says that the wicked, his mouth is full of cursing. Now, when we think about cursing, we immediately think of dirty words. And we shouldn't. There's no sense in that. My grandfather said something I thought was pretty profound. And he may have let a dirty word slip every now and then, and I don't condone that. But he told me one time, as a little boy, and it helped me. He said, Cody, when people cuss all the time, he said, it's just a sign of a poor vocabulary. And I think that there may be a faint little bit of truth to that, but just a faint truth to it. The real truth is, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what's in our heart comes out of our mouths. And the sad thing about perverse language is it is an evidence of a perverse heart. And the Bible says that a wicked heart, and wickedness, and wicked people have bad mouths. Now, cursing, when we think about cursing, we immediately think about dirty words. But there's actually a greater depth of meaning to the word curse. The word curse is literally this words that are wish ill on other folks. I'm cursing you. Curse you, you know? You understand that? I hope you all die. That's cursing. I hope you tear your bicep and have to preach in a sweater for 2 months. That's cursing, you know. Cursing. It's cursing. Cursing is when with your words you have no care, concern, or love or benevolence towards other people. Cursing. Now, you pay attention to your words. You may never say one bad word for the rest of your days. But if you talk about people and talk down about people and you don't wish people well and you don't have a spirit that gives people the benefit of the doubt, that loves folks, if you don't have a spirit that lifts people up, but you have a spirit that beats people down, and any chance you get, you will run somebody right under the bus. Let me tell you something. You are a curser. And your heart's wicked. Your heart's wicked. That's not the spirit of Christ. As a matter of fact, it's a symptom of wickedness. The Bible says in verse 7, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit. Now, I am amazed at how deceitful we are. How deceitful our society is. How deceitful our politicians are. How deceitful Christians sitting in church pews just like ours are. I'm ashamed and often blown away by how deceitful we are. Look, saved people, Christian people, have no reason to be deceptive, deceitful, liars. It is far better to be in trouble with somebody for telling the truth than to be in trouble with God for telling a lie. Don't forget that. Look, if you have to tell the truth and get in trouble with somebody, do it, because I'd much rather be in trouble with all of y'all than to be in trouble with God. Deceit. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Fraud. It's about the same thing. Similar, very similar. Fraud. It's almost like deceit has the idea of something that's short. Fraud is when you play the long game. I'm going to cheat you over a long period of time. The Bible says that out of his mouth is full of cursing, deceit, and fraud. Verse 7, I've got to bring this to a conclusion. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. And vanity. Why do we lie? Why do we lie? Why do we curse? Why do we like to rip other people apart and pull them down? Why do we do that? Because we're vain. And we want to make ourselves look better, feel better, seem better. Vanity. It's all an evidence, symptoms of wickedness. His mouth is full of cursing. Number 8, the last one. Look, the Bible says, verse 11. The Bible says, he hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. You almost see this wicked man, this wicked person, wicked woman. You see this wicked person. It's true, preacher. If I can get one up on some dumb cluck, I'll do it. It's true, preacher. I'm proud of the fact that I'm wicked and sinful, and I enjoy these things that God says he despises. It's true, preacher. My greatest hero is the person who's clawed their way to the top, whatever it took. It's true, preacher. I don't care one bit what God wants for my life. I've got ambition and desires. It's true, preacher. Seems like everything's a fight. It's true, preacher. I run my big fat mouth. It's true, preacher. Let me tell you something. God's already forgotten about me. I've been getting by with this for years. Symptom of wickedness, a wicked person comes to the place where they say, God's forgotten. He hides his face. He won't see me. And David, as he writes this psalm, the whole premise of the psalm is that he's burdened because these wicked folks seem to be getting by with their wickedness. And David's reminded, God, he says, God, why are you hiding your face? Why are you waiting so long? And then he says this, verse 14. He says, thou hast seen it. For thou beholdest mischief and spite to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. What's he say? I love that little phrase, verse 14. Thou hast seen it. Let me just tell you something. If you're battling your own heart with wickedness, don't you think for one minute you're getting by with it. You can get forgiveness. You can have peace with God as soon as you repent of your sin. But if you think somehow you're going to be able to keep on keeping on in your wicked ways and God is not going to deal with it, God's seen it. God saw all that. God knows what's going on. And it will be dealt with. It will be dealt with severely. God will take care of it. I like David's spirit. Here's what he says, verse 15. He says, Lord, break the arm of the wicked and evil man. Verse 16, the Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Now, look at that last little phrase. The heathen are perished out of his land. David at the beginning of this psalm is saying, man, Lord, how long are you going to hide your face and let this go? And it's like the Lord reminds him, hey, look, okay, I see. The Lord is king for all the days of your lives. No, the Lord is king forever. What's he looked at? He's like, eternity. Eternity is the great reconciler. The Lord is king forever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Now look, if you're here and you're lost, you've never been saved, and you say, I'm just going to live and do whatever I want to do, I hope and pray that you enjoy the days of your life because you'll suffer in hell forever. But ultimately, I hope and pray that you'll repent of your sin, your wickedness, and turn to the Lord in faith and be saved and have everlasting life. For God's people, you're saved. You know you're saved. You've let wickedness just creep in. I pray if any of the symptoms have shown up on your radar, I pray you'll repent. Turn to the Lord. Everything's right. You'll be glad you did. You know what's sweet about having a relationship with Jesus? He'll forgive you. His mercies are new. Every morning. His mercy will be new to you right now. On Wednesday evening. You can trust him. God help us to recognize the symptoms of wickedness and do something about it. How faithful our Lord is. Let's pray.